Well, we're just doing our normal week of game planning and prepping for this game, just like we've done the 15 ones previous to it.
It's kind of a strange scenario, isn't it? With if the Vikings end up losing, you got to consider how to do things. Have you ever been in anything close to this, or do you know how to handle such a situation?
I haven't ever been in a situation like this. It is a little bit different, but I think that, you know, obviously we'll have a little bit more information as the kickoff for the game, but I think the best way to handle it is just to go about your normal business, keep your routine the same, and prepare for the game that way. And then if you do make any adjustments, you know, certainly you can do that during the game or at the start of the game.
So if the number two seed is not a possibility anymore, Ken, then you might play it a little differently?
Yeah, I really can't tell you that right now. I think it depends what other factors are involved as far as our players and their health. But, like, we're preparing this week right now just like it's a normal week for us, and we're going about it that same way. I guess what Coach Belichick said was right. If they play, they'll play. If they don't play, then they won't play.
You've played teams three times in one season, right? Like Baltimore,
I think
most of, right?
Yep.
Does that...
I've played three regular season games against teams before, twice in the regular season, a conference team, and then played a playoff game against them. So,
yeah. Coach McCarthy was saying the other day that there's enough game planning stuff done where he could do a doubleheader against the team without showing too much stuff. You kind of feel the same way?
Well, it seems like every week that you, at the end of a game, there's always things that you didn't run or things that you didn't get to during the course of a game. And I think that's the natural tendency with coaches is to have that. So, yes, there are things. I know there are things that we carry that we'll use actually the next week if applicable against another team just because we didn't get to them that particular week. So, I mean, you never know how a game's going to go and how much of the things that you actually put in that you'll use. And it's always better to have too much than not enough. So, you know, I'm sure that would be accurate what Coach said.
I know coaches look at the last four, Ken. Were you more eyebrows raised watching these guys against the Steelers' second passing game or Seattle's and how they took it away last Sunday?
Well, I think when you watch them over the course of a number of weeks, which you do anytime you're game planning for an opponent, you get a feel for how they're playing, and they're playing good football. They're doing a nice job. I think that you know, there were a number of factors in the Steelers game with the quarterback moving around and making some throws, and, you know, a lot of times that happens. But they're doing a very nice job on the defensive side of the ball as far as how they're playing both against the run and the pass. And, you know, there's no doubt in my mind why their record is the way it is.
Ken, do you think you're actually possibly playing better football than you were at this time a year ago heading into the, you know, stretch run before the playoffs?
I think we're playing a little bit more consistent football than we were at this time last year. I mean, we played pretty good football at times last year, and obviously we got on a run in the playoffs. But I think we've been a little bit more consistent, especially in this latter part of the year, than we were last year. And that's a good thing. That's what you like to see from your football team. It shows that hopefully they're maturing a little bit.
What did you get out of Beanie Wells to go along with Hightower? Seems like a pretty diverse 1-2 punch you guys have.
Yeah, you know, sometimes those things they just kind of fall into place like that. We were obviously excited about Tim Hightower last year, and he did a number of good things for us. And then when we had the opportunity to get Beanie this year, we were excited to get him. And it's just kind of worked out the way it is with, you know, you have two backs that have a little bit different styles that have both been effective for us. And it's been really exciting for us to see the way Beanie has progressed as the season has gone along. And we're certainly excited about his future. But I think anytime in this league that you have two backs that you feel can play, especially when they have a little bit different styles, you know, it does help you overall with your offense.
Have you gone back and looked at the preseason game against the Packers, and how much do you take out of that?
Not much. Once again, we didn't game plan for that game. We made a number of mistakes in that game, and you know, you go back and just look at it just to see where you were personnel-wise and how some of those things matched up. But I don't put too much stock in what happened in that game just because of, like I said, we didn't really game plan. And, you know, you're playing different players, and number of players that didn't play in that game, and we had some turnovers, and you know, you got to give them credit. They played very well. But once again, I think we, as with not necessarily with this opponent, but with any opponent, we look at really what, you know, the last five or six games that they've done. That's where you really get a feel for what they're doing well and, you know, how you feel like they're going to attack you.
You beat the odds getting to the Super Bowl last season and then managing to get 10 wins this year and 12 games in a row because of an early bye. What's been the difference?
Well, I think last year the playoff run certainly helped us as far as maturity and believing that we could do things when nobody else really gave us a chance. And when you go into the playoffs as labeled the worst team ever in the history of the playoffs and you fight through that, then when people are telling you that the Super Bowl loser can't get back to the playoffs or can't win their division, you know, you have something to draw from. The fact that you can, if you put your mind to it or if you work the right way, you can accomplish those things. So I think that helped us. I think that we've had some younger players that have matured maybe a little faster than we thought, like Calais Campbell, that's really played well for us this year, and Dominique Rogers-Cromartie, who's done the same. And I think that's all part of hopefully getting our program going in the right direction.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, it looked like the NFC was, you know, a clear two-horse race with New Orleans and Minnesota. I mean, since then, is this as jumbled and maybe competitive a group of six as you can recall?
Yeah, it is. It is. I think that they're, all the teams that are in the playoffs are quality football teams. There's no question. They've all done a lot of good things. But I think that, you know, everybody wants to make predictions or assumptions that one or two teams are, because of their seeding, that are better than the others. And that seems to be the way it is typically every year. And I'm not going to diminish from what certainly New Orleans has done, or Minnesota or Philadelphia, both, all of which have better records than us. But, you know, I certainly do think that, as we proved last year, if you get in, if you're one of those six teams and you play well at the right time, you have a chance.
Ken, what was the key last year to winning on the road in the playoffs for you guys?
Well, for us, you know, I think it was really more about a mindset. And we got down early in that game, and we hung together and made a couple of plays to get us back in it, and then obviously we made a bunch more plays to win that game, and that gave us the confidence. And I have no doubt that winning that first playoff game at home propelled us that way. It certainly gave us confidence. And like I said earlier, when all you hear going into that game was that we were going to lose badly because we were such a bad team and we didn't deserve to be in the playoffs, when you do overcome all of that and win a game, especially in the playoffs like we did, it gives you more confidence. And I think that we built off of that.
Does that build motivation when you hear stuff like that?
Well, I think there's obviously a lot more attention on each team when you make it to the playoffs, because there's 20 fewer teams for people to cover. So it's kind of hard to ignore that when you're constantly, that question is being asked of you. So it did provide some motivation for our football team, and I think they handled it well.
You stumbled three times at home, Ken, though, this year. What's happened in those kind of games?
Well, we played Indianapolis in one of them. They were pretty good. We played Carolina, another one, which is showing here lately that they're a pretty good team. And then just the first game of the year, we lost to San Francisco. We didn't play a very good game. I think we were still struggling a little bit to get our rhythm. So I think it's a credit to our players and to our staff that we were able to start off 1-2 and fight through that and play pretty good over the next 12 games.
Ken, when you decided to handle play calling this year, was that something that you felt you were the best option, or was that something that you really wanted on your plate?
Well, I had experience doing it. I think that was the biggest thing. And I felt at that particular time that, you know, I did it my first year before I turned it over to Todd in the second year, and that process seemed to work pretty well for us, so I guess you go with what you know. So I had experience doing it and felt good about it. I always never have said that I didn't enjoy it. That's one of the funner aspects of the job, is being able to call the plays on game day. So, you know, it was certainly a lot of fun for me.
As a play caller, what are the areas in which you develop or that you get better at over your career?
Well, I think it's really more about getting a feel for your team and what your team does well, and then also being able to, what I think you get better at is situations and understanding what may be coming at you and time management. You know, a lot of those things that you've had experience with doing over a number of games become more second nature to you, and it's easier. for you to manage those things and still keep your thoughts to finding that next play or looking for the one that you are trying to set up to call at another point.
Do you consider it a real advantage that you still, you know, might have something to play for? And even if you don't, you have this whole week where at least your players think that they have something to play for. Do you think that's a better scenario than if you have it all wrapped up and you're kind of, you know, thinking about whether you're going to rest guys or not rest guys?
I don't think it hurts. I do believe that you try to prepare like you would anyway. I think the one thing that the benefit that we can sell to our team is that preparing for this game gives us an additional week to prepare if we play Green Bay, which obviously we all know the chances of that are pretty high, that it doesn't hurt you to get that extra week of preparation, of game preparation for an opponent. So it's much like when we played in the Super Bowl last year. You know, you go through a week of preparation and then we get a unique chance to actually compete against the team and assess some of the things that they're doing to us and what we can work and what, you know, we didn't do so well. And then you can tweak your plan the next week based on that. So, you know, it's a kind of a unique deal, and it'll be interesting to see how it works out.